Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months. Plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network speed. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, COP26 in Glasgow, Scotland, speaking to global issues going forward, deforestation. And I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor for the Army War College, the Strategic Studies Institute, to watch as the world leadership pledges deforestation, all eyes immediately on the Amazon, on the vast tract of neotropical forest that we've had since that comet asteroid struck 66 million years ago. That's the product of these last 66 million years helping the world breathe. But if you followed the anecdotes of stories over these decades, Amazon is under assault by habitat destruction, having to do with people eating more or seeking grazing ground for the cattle that turns into the meat that's exported to the planet. Other crops are used in the Amazon forest as it's cut back. That is an expression of the world population. And yet, I go to the BBC headline, "World leaders promise to end deforestation by 2030. In other words, in less than a decade. The BBC is keen on this and shows a large herd of cattle. Where else? In the Amazon for this pledge. It is also a national issue. Steny Hoyer, the majority leader in the House of Representatives, is promising a bill for the government to meet the President Biden's deforestation pledge that he, along with his colleagues, all joined in, over 100 countries, agreeing to end and reverse deforestation in less than a decade. What is to be done? I mention that there are voices at COP26 who are puzzled. The voice that I pay attention to right now is Justin Adams, Executive Director of the Tropical Forest Alliance. He comments, "There was a real dialogue and a real commitment to working together. Those conversations have not happened before in terms of how we can make this all happen." In other words, they're looking for a solution. But there are other voices who say, it's a good pledge, but you have to enforce it. Policing. Professor, a very good evening to you. The tropical forest of Amazon is much in the news, but there are forests in Indonesia that are equally under assault from deforestation, from habitat destruction. There are forests in Yakutia, the coldest part of Siberia that I've reported on these last months, under assault by wildfires. In addition, the permafrost is melting, damaging the habitat profoundly for the people of Siberia, but also for the flora and fauna. And there are reports of the peat underneath the forest of Yakutia on fire, forest destruction. We know that there are forests everywhere in the world that are under assault, but Amazon gets an uneven amount of attention. I connect this in general to the present president, Mr. Bolsonaro, who has commented recently that there's very little he can do. He does what he can, but he is in favor of the exploitation of the Amazon, particularly for mining, for example, because he needs a prosperous recovery from the pandemic. At this point, how do you measure Bolsonaro confronting these pledges in Glasgow? Is it imaginable that he can campaign, or if he's lucky enough to win a second term, that he can follow through on the policing of the Amazon that borders other states, but it's chiefly thought of as an Amazon feature? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Anytime you have Jair Bolsonaro, Ivan Duque of Colombia, and Vladimir Putin of Russia on the same sheet, it's either something really important or something that should arouse suspicion. Obviously, the issue of deforestation is important, especially in Latin America. It's an artifact of a number of things, including the need for people for land, for cattle grazing, for other things, which leads to clear cutting and burning in order to get that land. And anytime that you have infrastructure construction, that opens up more possibilities to reach into those areas. Having said that, however, when you look at these claims, on the one hand, there's clearly no immediate enforcement mechanism. There's no legal obligation to monitor and ensure or impose costs if nations don't live up to these things. At the same time, also, there's a recognition there's no timetable. And so the commitment is to do certain things by the end of the decade. We've actually been here before with previous deforestation commitments. And so the conclusion that I come to is that this largely reflects political pressures. So you have, again, President Biden, as we've talked about previously, visiting Ivan Duque, among others, and talking about a range of issues. Duque understands that he wants to keep in good with the United States, and how do you maneuver with this president who puts so much emphasis on climate? Also, within the left in Colombia, it's an effective way to position. Same thing with Jair Bolsonaro, who, again, has at least reluctantly turned much more towards a pro-environmentalist policy after having been beaten up internationally on deforestation issue, not only by the U.S., but by the Europeans. There's also money at stake. So, for example, in the case of Ivan Duque, Colombia is trying to finalize a $500 million loan from the IMF that would advance these type of things. And so if the commitments to actually get there over the long term aren't clear, at least at the beginning of the road, the promises can come with both political rewards and money. So I have a certain amount of cynicism about where this will take us, at least in Latin America, and why the actors are going along with it. But clearly this administration, the Biden administration, has made this a central thrust, and that's having an impact in the response of partners in Latin America.
I want to stay in Brazil. Deforestation is the entry for the conversation about Brazil's election. Mr. Bolsonaro is facing a robust challenger, Lula da Silva, previously president of Brazil. And Lula da Silva was not able to run before because he was detained, incarcerated, the product of a lengthy investigation having to do with corruption. But da Silva is now running, and the polling shows that he's doing very well. The reason I bring up Lula da Silva is that his name came up recently in the extradition of a man from Spain to the United States who is a product of the narco-terrorist laundering that is said to be transnational in Latin America. It's a lengthy story. The point that comes to touch Brazil is that this man, detained now in the United States, has named a number of prominent politicians throughout Latin America, throughout South America, who are said to have received funds from the narco-terrorist laundering. And one of those names is Lula da Silva. There are other names, other prominent politicians. Petro, who is leading in the polls in Colombia, in Honduras, a name, in Argentina, a name, but we're concentrating on Brazil. Is this an issue, Professor, that a man detained in the U.S. is pointing to Lula da Silva as a narco-terrorist laundering receiver?
Well, John, I would point out that this is not the first time that we've been here. As a matter of fact, some of the readers may remember, or some of the listeners may remember, back in, I believe, 2008, when a FARC leader was killed by by munitions on the Ecuadorian side of the Ecuadorian-Colombian border. And the computer that was recovered implicated a whole series of Latin American leaders in collaborating with the Hugo Chavez regime. Now, with respect to Hugo, who they referred to as El Pollo, the chicken Carvajal, it was clear that in order to try to postpone his extradition from Spain, he was beginning to name a whole series of people. I believe that it is entirely likely that some of the things that he's talking about were entirely true. But not unlike the Pandora's papers recently that have come out in others, this opens up a whole series of accusations of collaboration. Again, as you pointed out, it involves Gustavo Petro, the Colombian presidential candidate. It involves Lula da Silva, possibly as having taken Venezuelan dirty money, and just a whole range of others. But it is entirely, if Carvajal wasn't just saying these things to try to stall extradition, and probably both things are true, the implication is that, yeah, for some time, the Workers' Party, at least the left wing of the Workers' Party in Brazil, has likely been coordinating and collaborating with Venezuela and others. This goes back to accusations that have made of the role, for example, of the what is called the Sao Paulo Forum, a group of Latin American leftists, again, who have been coordinating with each other. And this becomes particularly of concern also because the region is currently moving in an unprecedented direction toward the left. We have upcoming elections in Chile, which are likely to go left, upcoming elections in Honduras, which are likely to go left, where we are recently with elections in Peru that brought in Pedro Castillo, the possibility that the left will win in Colombia. And so at the end of the day, looking at this from a U.S. strategic standpoint, we have to recognize that these type of connections really underline the fact that a turn by Brazil to the left, especially with Lula, with Brazil representing literally half of the economy and half of the population of South America, would really consolidate and rearrange the strategic environment in the Americas. And that's going to affect us in our multilateral diplomacy. It's going to affect our strategic position as we relate to the entire region, both from security cooperation, economic cooperation, and just a range of other matters.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, Latin American Research Professor, Strategic Studies Institute. We're going to turn now to one of the successes of Latin America for dozens of years. And now Chile faces an election and a stark choice. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network speed. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.